issues affecting Asia's animals and the stories of the people working on their behalf. We'll be taking you on a tour of what's been happening lately in the animal protection space around Asia, and also bringing you updates from our huge network of animal protection organizations and our many working groups. Welcome to the Asia for Animals podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Animals Online series, a part of the AFA podcast, which focuses on the issue of animal cruelty content on social media. Led by the AFA's very own Social Media Animal Cruelty Coalition Working Group. My name is Nicola O'Brien, and I am the lead coordinator of SMAC. In this episode, we'll be giving an introduction to the issue of social media animal cruelty content, as well as talking to one of our member organisations, ACRES, who are based in Singapore. ACRES will be sharing with us their experience as an organisation on the ground who are tackling animal cruelty content online, as well as their work on bringing an end to wildlife sales online. This is a great episode if you're new to this issue and want to learn a bit about it. Over the series, we'll be digging deeper into the different forms of animal cruelty content, the different approaches to tackling this problem, and how animal organisations are working together. So what is social media animal cruelty content? Well, SMAC defines animal cruelty content as anything that's been posted on social media by an individual, organisation, or a business that depicts animal cruelty or suffering for any reason apart from valid campaigning, journalistic, or educational purposes. This content can range from real extreme graphic violence towards animals, right through to situations where animals are being filmed that some people might not recognise as animal cruelty, such as where animals are being teased for their response to be filmed on camera, or wild animals being kept as pets. In all instances, animals are suffering or being impacted negatively in some way, and unfortunately, the appearance of this content on social media is exacerbating these problems by promoting these ideas that this is how we can interact with animals and how we can treat animals. And often this content does go viral. Sometimes this content can become so popular that the creators can actually earn money from content through monetization, so the application of adverts appearing on the content. So effectively they are earning money off of the exploitation and suffering of animals. Many social media platforms do have some forms of community guidelines. However, we do see that some of them don't specifically mention animal cruelty content, and those that do often don't go far enough into explaining exactly what constitutes animal cruelty. It doesn't capture the wide range of animal cruelty content that is out there. They don't see the psychological impacts of the situations that the animals are being kept in, just because there is an obvious injury to the animal or direct violence towards the animal does not mean that the animal isn't suffering, because perhaps they're a wild animal that's being kept as a pet in a situation that doesn't meet its needs. They've been removed from the wild. They're not living with members of their own kind. That can have long-term psychological impacts and is suffering that can be just as severe as physical suffering. To make matters worse, from the research of SMAC and also from reports that we receive from the public, we often find that platforms are not enforcing their own policies, so not removing content from the platform that shows animal cruelty, even though it breaches their community guidelines. Another huge challenge is that, of course, social media is online and it is borderless. So a piece of content that can be created in one country can be viewed worldwide. Something that may be illegal in one country is legal in another country. So jurisdiction is another big challenge when trying to make change. Overall, the issue of social media animal cruelty is a big one, and that's why SMAC was set up, to bring together organisations who are working on this issue, to have strength in numbers and to be as effective as we can for animals. AMBU oversees the education, fundraising, animal crime investigation and wildlife management department at ACRES. Just to note that this interview was recorded live at the conference, so there may be some background sounds. Hello, Ambu. Thank you so much for taking some time out of the day. I know you've been speaking at the conference and there's lots of great sessions going on, so I really appreciate that. Just want to talk to you today about the work of your organisation and to get into a little bit more about the issue of social media cruelty content.
Hi, Nicola. I'm Anbu from ACRES. ACRES is an animal protection charity, and we work in Singapore, and we do our work through different focus areas, from doing humane education, 24-hour wildlife rescue and rehab work, tackling the illegal wildlife trade, promoting cruelty-free lifestyle, and also promoting coexistence with Singapore's native wildlife. So since our work revolves around different animal protection efforts, we have operational side and the advocacy arm. So my role as a co-CEO at ACRES is to manage the advocacy arm, which is to do fundraising, manage education programs, work very closely with the government agencies, and all towards mobilizing changes in the policy and legislative levels.
ACRES does do a fantastic range of projects for animals. Just for our listeners, I wondered if you could tell us what ACRES stands for.
So ACRES stands for Animal Concerns, Research and Education Society.
And when was ACRES first started?
2001, so we just turned 23 years old. 22 years old, my math. Okay.
So over two decades, I'm really interested to speak with organisations that have been around for a while to get their opinion and their impression of how things have changed in terms of advancements for animal protection, but also in the opinions of the public.
Definitely, we have plenty of positive stories to tell due to the work not only of ACRES, but heightened public awareness and working together with the relevant government agencies. So one of the things that we are very happy about is tackling the trade in prohibited wild animals in shops, in pet shops, in physical shops. So we have done investigative work to look at the level of pet trade in the pet shops over years, so we can monitor the trend. And due to all the enforcement effort and seizures, you will not be able to find a prohibited wild animal being sold in pet shops in Singapore. Okay. Yes, and same goes for the bear bowl trade as well. We have managed to wipe out the trade in bear bowl and also other wild animal parts in the TCM industry. So whatever is illegal, we have managed to weed out from physical shops. Mm-hmm. That brings me to, you know, a long way ahead of work that needs to be done, which is on what's happening online. Yeah.
Yes, so this brings us to discussion about wildlife sales online and also animal cruelty content online. And in particular, with these forms of animal abuse being carried out, perpetuated online in places like social media platforms and messenger apps. And I know that ACRES has a extensive experience in tackling illegal wildlife crime. And I'm really curious about how your approach it has differed or needs to adapt to be able to tackle it now that it's moved online?
I think the trade of animals, live animals in general, is very rampant online since 2010. This is something that we did preempt earlier, a couple of decades ago already, that this is going to happen because people were able to create user accounts, create multiple user accounts. There were no user verification. Those already were indicators that groups like us and the government agencies are going to face plenty of challenges in tackling the issue. It's not like physically visiting a shop and then doing a seizure. This is going to be happening in the virtual world where we do not know who is selling, who's buying, and whether the animal has been even sold already. By the time you take down the listing, the transaction would have happened and the animal is gone. So it is a very scary work. The scale is very scary, and which means that we need to be two steps ahead, which means we need to tackle tech with tech, whether it's machine learning or having algorithms in place or working with platforms and working with enforcement agencies. So we have seen an increasing trend in online trade. With the increased level of encryption, it's getting even more challenging. So we are trying to change the angle from not just public awareness and working with platforms, but towards legislative angle as well.
Yes, and part of the challenge that animal organisations face when trying to deal with this issue is the lack of skills and knowledge about specifics to do with how the online world works and the different tools and methods that are out there for people to be able to go online and be anonymous and be in encrypted groups and use the dark web, for example, to organise themselves. And yeah, this is not something that animal welfare groups in particular have had to extensively spend resources on or don't have those skills already existing in the organisation. So then, does the organisation try to bring those skills into the team? Do you train your staff to be able to do that? Which I'm sure there's some element of that needed, because as organisations, we are all needing to find the evidence to be able to show what is the problem of cruelty to animals on social media, what are the different forms of cruelty that you can find there.
So that is something that we, like our organisation, lacks skills on. So we constantly look for volunteers. For example, a couple of years ago, we did a hackathon for students where we invited students for a competition where they develop a code, and then we try to scrape a website to see how can we, without having to manually sit and search for what animals are being sold or treated, we go and pick up using a code, a program. So that actually prompted the platforms to work a little bit more proactively with us to like, okay, you just send us a listing, we'll remove, which we are grateful for. But when it comes to, I think, cruelty content, it's more complex, which means we all need to put our heads together to work on this. It's not really a national, local, regional issue. It's a global issue. And the fact that social media makes things go viral, which means people like to follow trends, which is not something we had maybe in 2010. Trends is a recent thing in the past few years. One does something, there's a challenge, everyone does the same thing. And this happens for animals as well, from scaring animals, or they see that people are viewing the content. So it's a big challenge in front of us. And yes, we need to put our efforts together to tackle. Yeah,
I think your comment about trends is really important when we're thinking about animal cruelty content online, because it does have an impact. So there's the examples where someone might film themselves pranking their dog or cat and people think it's cute and it gets shared, and more people will see that and then go and make similar content themselves. And then that extends, and we've seen videos where animals are being intentionally frightened, scared, distressed, so people can get these funny reaction videos. And obviously that isn't good for animal welfare, and it's teaching a sort of negative way of how we should be treating other animals. But there's those people that maybe are creating that content and don't really realise that it's that harmful. But then we have those creators that are intentionally creating content because they know they're going to get engagement. So they take these trends and they sort of exploit them. So we see examples where everyone likes to see videos where animals are being rescued and from a terrible situation and they have a happy ending. Unfortunately, there are content creators out there that know that this type of content is popular, so they intentionally put animals in dangerous situations and then film themselves going in to rescue the animals. And this might be, you know, I've seen videos where animals are being put in situations where they might be drowning or on the risk of drowning in a fast flowing river, or trapped underneath a heavy like tree or object. And those animals are in real danger, and it's distressing for those animals, terrifying. But the people watching the content think that this is a genuine rescue and that someone has done something out of the goodness of their heart. So it is exploited by people as well. So trends can be so powerful, and it's something that we talk about with the social media platforms around, you know, the patterns that we have identified.
Yes. And I think organizations like us, like ACRES, what we also need to do on the other side, in addition to working on legislative pieces and policies, we also need to tell our followers on what they should look out for and how they can be responsible consumers of online content, right? So that is a big role that I think organizations like us will have to play. To educate our general public and followers on how to be responsible.
So this seems like perfect moment to plug SMAC, the Social Media Animal Cruelty Coalition, one of AFA's many working groups. And what we do is we bring together organisations, including ACRES, who want to work on tackling cruelty content on social media. And we run joint projects, so we do extensive research into animal cruelty content that's available across social media. And we also produce reports, really drill down into some of the more common themes of animal cruelty, how it's being created, the whole environment around sharing it, the monetization of cruelty content. We also work with some of the social media platforms to encourage them to improve their policy around animal cruelty and, crucially, their moderation so that they're catching and removing cruelty content. SMAC is open to other organisations joining us for any of those that are listening and might be interested. But if your NGO can't make that commitment, you can still raise awareness by heading over to our website and making use of our NGO toolkit. In the toolkit, you'll find social media images and videos to spread awareness. We have guides on how to report content on key social media platforms, frequently asked questions, and we've created content in a range of languages. Ambu, you know that one of the key messages around cruelty content is to not engage. So don't watch the content, don't share it, don't comment, don't leave an emoji. And we say that because we know that algorithms on social media platforms use engagement to promote popular content. So they don't register if it's negative or positive, they just know it's engagement and that boosts the content, which is obviously what we're trying to avoid. But we also know that that can be something difficult for us to communicate to the public, because when they see the content, especially if they identify that it's cruelty, they want to comment at the time.
I'm guilty of doing that in the past because I did not know that, you know, the algorithm works that way, that whether you go and comment saying, don't do this, this is cruelty, all this, you know, counts as engagement, in turns turn into opportunity for monetization from the content. So we are trying to raise that awareness as well. It's great that SMAC has plenty of useful resources on the website. We could just download them, use it in our educational program slides. We could put on our website, use it for our own social media content. So one of the things I really love doing is when we are doing education programs, particularly for tertiary level institution students, is that encourage critical thinking. So we show a video without showing the handle of the account, because we don't want to encourage kids to go and search for, oh, cruelty content, I want to go and look what's happening. So show it and ask, what do you think of it? Is it okay? If they say it's not okay, why is it not okay? So would you forward share why we should not do it? And then we talk about SMAC as well. We actually talk about the coalition to tell we are not in this alone. There are many groups who are doing this work.
Okay, and what kind of responses do you get to that?
Usually adults, working adults, are very surprised. They are like, oh no, I did not realize it. For example, even my own family and friend circle, sometimes they are not aware. They might forward me something and they will get this long message reply from me saying, why this is bad, what you should do, and all that stuff. So I think people are just really not aware and how they are contributing. So they are very surprised, shocked. And the next thing that really shocks them is the extent of content that's available online. Probably they think that there's only one or two harmless videos that come in. But when they see the SMAC reports, which talks about numbers, right? There's so much, and the monetization value of it, when you put it in dollars, people just go, oh no, I'm part of this, you know, I'm contributing to this. And then they take a step back to say, okay, this is something I can do. It's easy mm-hmm. because I wake up, I open my Instagram, I open my social media platforms, and you can, this is so easy to take action. So that is something that we have observed in many groups where they just find this completely eye-opening. It's like, I never realized this was happening. And when we showed one of the videos to a platform that we were working with, and it was a fake, a staged video of someone, a baby monkey clinging on to a goat, and this man was feeding the goat. And the platform, his reaction on a Zoom call was, oh, so cute. So that really showed that, you know, we can really fall for, you know, well-intentioned people could fall for such videos. So, yeah, there's a lot more need for awareness. Yes.
And part of that public awareness is informing the public about what they can do when they do identify animal cruelty content online. And the main message is to report that content to the social media platforms. This is really important because they need to be made aware of the content on their platform. They need to see that the public is not okay that this content is there, and so wants to flag it. And we know from our conversations with the platforms that it's important, and that they look at the reports and the themes of content that's being reported to them. So it's about prioritizing, showing them that animal cruelty content should be a priority for them. SMAC does have some videos on our website which show how to report the content on various platforms, because some of them unfortunately don't make the very clear around where to find the correct category to be able to report animal cruelty specifically. And so, Ambu, if you could talk a bit more about your work with the platforms, and obviously SMAC works with them as well, and all of our members are represented when we meet with them and talk with them. So I'd like to hear about that experience.
So ACRES has been working with platforms on the illegal wildlife trade topic for a very long time. We have hosted roundtable discussions to have open dialogues about what are the challenges that platforms face, what are the challenges NGOs like us face. And they have really allowed us to have a trusted channel to give feedback. And we realized that the volume of content was just too high. It was really difficult. And there were also other programs for the illegal wildlife trade for public to blow the whistle. But we're talking about transaction of an animal, right, which can happen. But with, in online, animal cruelty content is really feeding into the cruelty by committing acts of cruelty. So for this, when we first heard about SMAC, I was like, hey, this is very relevant to the work that we do. And we've been doing by liaising with platforms on our own. And we know that online content is global, which means there's only so much we can do from Singapore. We can only work on content that's created in Singapore, right? And this means that everyone needs to come together to work as a member. So when this coalition was, you know, up and we heard about it, we were like, yeah, we need to work together. We became a member. And it was just actually very easy because SMAC does most of the work in the back end where you're, you know, coordinating meetings, which is periodic, and we get updates very quickly when we attend the meetings. And it also allows us to hear what the platforms are, how the platforms are engaged by SMAC. We get an opportunity to even join these meetings. And we've been locally working with TikTok and Meta for a while. And it is great to see them, you know, TikTok being involved with SMAC as well, to see that, okay, because a lot of content on TikTok is actually global. It's available everywhere. So it has so much relevance. And I think we can, ACRES is interested in doing a lot more and continue the engagement as well with SMAC.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, Ambu. And as this will be one of our first episodes for the AFA podcast, I'm hoping that we can get you on the podcast again to talk about some of those projects that we're doing in the near future. I know that you need to get back to the conference, so we'll wrap things up now, but I just wanted one final question, which was just if you could tell us a bit more about your history with the AFA Coalition, because I know that you've been Acres has been with us for a long time and I believe has hosted our conference a few times as well.
So Acres was involved with the coalition, AFA coalition, since 2004. And Acres is one of the core members. Since then, we also hosted the AFA conference 4 times in Singapore, which is super exciting. And personally, I love attending the AFA conferences, and it's very energizing just to be surrounded by hundreds of people who care about all animals, and to hear about all the amazing work and experiences and lessons learned from their work, so we don't have to repeat the same mistakes. And also another thing that ACRES does is to bring our staff members for the conferences, because we are doing this work in Singapore. It's a small country, but we don't have the exposure to the welfare work that people do. So when we bring our staff members, they find it really interesting and inspiring to hear what's happening around the world. And the people are really very lovely. They are very amazing people. So it's a great place to come and connect, to re-energize and get back to the grind. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for all of that really interesting discussion. There's so much more we could say and things we could go into, but hopefully we can on another podcast episode soon. Thanks so much for your time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Great. Thank you, Nicola.
So I hope that gave you a bit of an introduction into the issue of social media, animal cruelty content, and that you got to know one of our amazing members. Please, if you want to find out more, visit our website at smackcoalition.com. And of course, you can find everything to do with SMAC via the Asia for Animals website as well.
Thanks for listening. You can find everything you need to know about our work and connect with us at asiaforanimals.com. Tune in for the next episode. Asia for Animals Coalition, a united voice for Asia's animals.